Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, like our buddy Clinton Yates, who hangs out with us, as he does every Thursday here on the show from 1040 to 1115. Sometimes a little longer, even, depending on what's going on. So thanks again for hanging out with us. Here's what you need to know. And we begin with the NBA scrimmaging yesterday. I don't know about you, Clinton. You know how I feel about the NBA. I love it. It's my number one. It's my bae. It's my boo. And I was there. I was glued to NBA TV yesterday watching scrimmages. Real basketball, although it didn't count. But it was nice to see real basketball back. What did you make? Did you watch any of it?
Yes, I watched my Zards get destroyed by the Nuggets. I saw Bol Bol blocking shots on one end and putting up threes on the other, to the point that the ever upset and frustrated Wizards fan base had the nerve to start using phrases like all-star flashes surrounding Bol Bol, because that was a guy on the board that they could have picked when they went with Admiral Schofield as well. Again, it was a glorified pickup game in some people's minds. Bol Bol looked great, but all-star flashes? I'm not doing that right now, guys.
I mean, the Bol Bol fan base is absolutely growing. Twitter was tickled yesterday.
I love Bol Bol, but come on, all-star flashes? No, that's just not what happened.
Yeah. Well, look, and didn't Manute played for the Bullets, right?
So, of course.
Yeah.
So people were really connected to that, but you know, alas, he's in Denver with the six other 7-foot guys in their starting lineup.
I know, it is pretty incredible. Like when Jokic is like your point guard, basically,
unbelievable.
It's crazy. All right, let's go to the Washington football team. That's what they are called right now, because I don't know, they haven't come up with a name yet. Clinton, what's going on with your squad?
Not much. I would like to read a tweet from the venerable LeBron Raymond James. It says this: just waking back up from my pregame nap to see about the Washington football team. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 crying emojis. Is that real? No way. Oh man. They had a thorough, intense, long board meeting about that one, huh? Which is exactly the point. Like, look, I understand that the groups that have been fighting for this forever, in terms of Native American groups who have been looking to get that moniker removed from the team, obviously are satisfied with this. But for the people who actually gave that man money, as in Daniel M. Snyder, and actually contributed to the cause of not only that terrible abuse in terms of what the perception of the name was, but in terms of what was happening right there on the ground, never mind all the losing. I'm sorry, this isn't good enough. You got to get rid of the whole thing. I mean, the colors have to go. The name has to go. This is a cop-out. You know, just because you take off a sign from your door that says you are not welcome, it doesn't mean that people are all automatically going to assume that they are welcome, which is the analogy I'm using here. This is just not it's a cop-out, you know, and I get that in terms of what people consider practicality, that this was in the change they had to make. Well, how about you should have just shut everything down until you changed it to begin with? Because if I was in charge, this wouldn't have been a problem to begin with. So, I don't get it. It's just weird. Lame.
Now, speaking of team names, how about the NHL expansion team in Seattle, the Kraken? What do you make of that, Clinton?
I love this. Okay, this is fantastic. Now, even though the logo, Greg, looks exactly like the Seagram's logo, so, you know, for those of you who are into the gin and tonics, you know what I mean? You're familiar.
I love the wine coolers when I was 15. Not when I was 15, when I was 21, I mean.
But the colors are dope. The name is dope. You know, released it. I mean, it's all fun, you know, and I'm glad Seattle's getting the team back. So that should be a fun market. People forget Seattle Metropolitans, first team in the United States to win a Stanley Cup.
Listen, I am all about Seattle getting their sports back. You know, hopefully we can get the Sonics back there too. And this is just kind of the first step of Seattle kind of regaining their sports independence, let's call it. All right. That is what you need to know. Clinton Yates hanging out with us here. It is opening day, Clinton Yates. So let's talk Mookie Betts here before we get to the calls real quick, because we got people on the board that want to chat with us. So how surprised were you by the timing of Mookie Betts being signed by the Dodgers to this insane extension?
I was pretty surprised by the timing, if for no other reason than the length of the contract. I know a lot of people have said this before, but you know, it was an indication that they clearly had this working long before anything related to COVID was involved. But it's also kind of like, they're putting some pressure on themselves right now. You know, we talked about how Dave got re-signed. We talked about how everybody respects that lineup. I mean, I feel like if you're coming out with this announcement a week before, you know, less than a week before the season starts, Greg, am I wrong here? This is an indication of we got Mookie Betts and we're going for this thing right now. And there's just no other way to put it because the expectations are on. I mean, I that was surprising to me in that regard. Not that you would have waited a whole season for it, but it does seem like this adds a certain level of pressure to what the Dodgers are supposed to be doing this season.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And you have it right. They're saying we are going for it right now, and we're going for it for the future too. We're not going to let him even get into any type of bidding war down in the offseason if there is the money there. It just seems like this was we want to get this done. We don't even want to think about it before the season starts. Let's just go.
Yeah, George, and that's ultimately why I think this is a good move, because if that's why you got the guy, if that's what you think the purpose is, well, then okay, go ahead, let's see it.
Right.
You know that he's going to be out there. He's playing well obviously, in summer camp. You know, he's mashing. He's looking good. He's looking like he's having fun. I realize that David Price isn't there, so it's a different kind of situation regarding the entirety of the free agent crop that you brought in. But, I mean, so what? You know, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, at least in the NL right now, from my personal opinion. So I kind of like this. It adds up to what is effectively a splash, which is not easy to do in this current market. And I like it a lot, man. And look, Mookie can transition to other positions later in his career if you're concerned about the length. You know, that's a real factor on this as far as I'm concerned. If that guy can keep that bat and it can end up moving into an infield role, which is something that he's done late before in his career, like, yeah, this isn't wasted money on the back end either, which makes it smart. I love it, man.
Well, and the reality is Andrew Friedman Clinton is so measured, right? He is so calculated, and it's what makes him successful, right? He didn't jump at just any player. He had opportunities in other instances, not only to throw a lot of money at guys, right, when he arrived, because let's face it, he was cash-strapped in Tampa Bay. They got to a World Series, and he had been really frugal and smart and shrewd there, and he's kind of operated similarly, obviously with larger purse strings, with the Dodgers, and I think it's been smart because he's waited for the right opportunity, and now it feels like he's got that right opportunity. He spent the money properly on the right guy. Not to say that Manny Machado doesn't deserve his money or other guys, but he was just super smart and super measured. He could have traded Cody Bellinger and Julio Urias for Chris Sale. He didn't do that, right? Like, he has been very calculated in the way he has run this particular franchise. He's not just going out there willy-nilly blowing cash because all of a sudden he has a full bank account.
No, and Mookie has the stats and the props and, you know, the trophies, as importantly, for this to make sense. You know, y'all watched right there that team beat the Dodgers right there in the World Series. You know, Mookie didn't have the best series in the world, but, I mean, the point is that, you know, it's not as if you're just grabbing some guy who's some eye-popping stats guy. We're talking about Silver Sluggers. We're talking about Gold Gloves. We're talking about MVP awards, and we're talking about rings. Absolutely, you want that guy on your team. What are you talking about?
Worth the money. It's interesting, Clinton, because we were talking about this yesterday with Ramona. Is if you look at his body, right? Like, he's got this lean body, right? He's got this perfect mechanics, a great swing. It's not like he depends on bulk, right, to be this great power hitter or to drive the ball, you know, and things of that nature. He's got the right body type, I think, that his performance should last, barring injury, which, look, you can never truly predict. Now, he hasn't had very many in his career, which has been a good thing, and I think that is a good sign. But I do think his body type, as crazy as that sounds, I think will help his longevity.
Doesn't sound crazy at all. I mean, Mookie Betts is the kind of ball player that is a throwback. He's just a regular-sized dude that's really good at baseball.
Right.
You know? That's like I mean, Mookie Betts is literally the exact same size that I am. You know? 5-whatever, 100-whatever. You know what I'm saying? Dude just happens to have eye-poppingly tremendous hand-eye coordination. You know what I'm saying? Incredible power to get it out of the plate. What I'm saying is that, like, yeah, you know, he's got a relatability also that I think just as a star, George, is kind of cool. You know, we talk all the time about how guys who play for the Dodgers aren't necessarily really stars in L.A. There's an added factor in terms of a bonus for Mookie, which is like, oh, yeah, there goes Mookie Betts. Your friendly neighborhood center fielder, MVP, world champion who plays for the LA Dodgers. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's something about that beyond just his ability to stick through a contract, I think is likable. You know,
right.
Machado always kind of had and this is not a knock on him, but he was a big league ball player. Comes into the building, you know the routine, the big arm, the big everything. Mookie's got a likability that I think is really cool for that team. And in general, it kind of reflects a lot about the manager. And never mind, the makeup of that team overall has got a lot of guys that are kind of in between who are just daggone gamers, you know?
No,
That's what the Dodgers are bringing to the table. I love it.
No question about it. Are your Nationals being slept on, though?
I don't know that they're being slept on. I mean, losing Tony is a big deal at third base. Carter Kieboom, I know that Jeff Passan picked him as his rookie of the year, but that doesn't mean that you can make up for his bat, never mind what he brings in the clubhouse. And overall, I mean, everybody's getting older. The Zimmerman situation is what it is. You know, he's not playing. I don't expect this team to be that good, but that's fine. You know, you got the trophy for a reason and things change. You know, I'm not saying they're going to be bums, but I think that right now the Braves are certainly ahead of them. Yeah. In that division, and we'll see what happens with the Nats. The pitching staff is always going to be their strength, and we'll see if they can power them through.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Plaschke brought up an interesting point the other day that the franchise of Jackie Robinson also having a black face, right, an African American face, I think matters in this particular sport and just in this particular climate.
I think it matters. I don't know that it's paramount necessarily because I think that what we're seeing in baseball today is that this is about a lot more than just integration at this stage in terms of the different type of people that get along in the game. But Mookie is an example of what can happen. Mookie skipped going to college. You know why? Because he was going to have to play behind Tony Kemp, of all people.
Right.
And he ended up just going straight into the pros, and they developed him, you know, into a guy who could play outfield, and he was tremendous. He's a perfect example of what a black player could but not often looks like these days in America. Regular-sized dude, athlete, baseball fan, taught him to play, came up through the professional ranks, and look at him now, one of the best players, if not the best player in the bigs.
All right, let's get to the phones because people want to chime in on opening day. People want to chime in on the Lakers-Clippers question. So this question really perplexed people yesterday. It hurt people, Clinton. I mean, O'Shea Jackson Jr. wanted to call in at the end of the show, but we were running out of time. He's calling in today at 11:30 because he wants to answer this question.
Wow.
And give it its proper context, okay? So we asked the people, what would hurt more? The Lakers being eliminated from the playoffs or the Clippers actually winning a championship? And, of course, we've been talking about the super teams in the bubble. Everyone thinks the next super team will be formed in the bubble. The Super Hollywood team is getting back together. Clinton's squad of Julia Roberts and Denzel Washington, the two top male-female actor combo. If you could find your own male-female super team actor-actress combo, who would you pick? 877-710-ESPN. Gelato Drew is in downtown L.A. Gelato Drew, how are you?
What's going on, Jorge? What's up? What's up? What's up, fellas?
What up?
What up?
So I thought about that question, Jorge, and I've seen my Lakers lose in the playoffs. But I do not want to see those Chiva Clippers win a title because then I'll have to see Marcellus, Clipper Darryl, and the rest of the Chiva Clipper fans celebrate. And that would hurt more than anything. We don't need those chumps winning a chip in our city.
Okay.
They're the
All
TV right. squad. They're the team the Bad News Bears beat when they went to Japan. We don't care about them. So that would hurt.
Okay.
That would hurt too much. So
would you boo them at the parade if we could have parades at the post pandemic?
I would call a bomb threat at the parade.
Oh no, let's not do that.
I'm kidding.
Not what
I'm
we
kidding.
Want here. Okay,
yes, let's not.
Okay,
do that.
But no, yes. I wouldn't even go to that parade. No,
smoke,
hell no.
Smoke some of that gelato and just relax. Okay, and
why is he known as Gelato? What's and such?
Yes, it's the it is the
two contexts. One is ice cream. One is not.
It is the strain. It is the strain. Yes.
Noted. Okay.
Noted. All right, fellas.
All right, man. Be good. Stay safe. Kellen in L.A. Kellen, how are you?
Good, guys. How you doing? First time, long time.
Welcome.
I would say after everything that went down with Magic and Rob and all the drama that happened this year, with all the chips that we put in, as much as I would not want to see the Clippers win a championship because that'd be like your little brother beating you in one-on-one for the first time, I would say the Lakers not winning the chip this year would be more disappointing for me. You know, we still haven't locked down AD, and, you know, we put a lot of energy, and we were flowing in the right direction, and then COVID hit. So, yeah, I would say not winning this year would be our best opportunity to win a long time because at the end of the day, the Clippers are going to win a championship with this squad eventually. So.
Wow, look at Kellen being
at
a rational Laker fan.
A healthy outlook from a Laker fan. That was tremendous. And I think he's right because quickly, you know, this team has been through a heck of a year.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a Lakers fan to look at this team and say, man, Lakers probably, I don't want to say deserve it, but it would ultimately be the best story for the NBA.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's been the most up and down season that I've experienced as a 34-year-old Laker fan, you know, with Magic and the drama and just all that stuff. You know, there were a lot of haters out there and a lot of Clipper haters. And I can guarantee you all the people who love the Clippers right now weren't loving the Clippers 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Here we go. We couldn't have gotten into take two without getting irrational.
Kellen. Thank you for the call, man. Stay healthy, stay safe. Here's the thing. He does bring up an interesting point. We talked about this the last couple of days too, Clinton, which is just that, you know, the ride for the Laker fan. I mean, I know this is going to sound ridiculous to anyone who's not a Laker fan, but they have gone through the biggest drought that they've gone through as Laker fans. You know, like these last 7 years have been the doldrums. Like, it has been the low of the low. Like, Kobe Bryant went out on a team that won how many games? Was it 16? Something ridiculous like that? I mean, think about that. May he rest in peace. So, it's like, these last few years, and then, yeah, last year, the Magic stuff, quitting on the last day.
I mean, and George, that's the thing. I don't think anybody's going to harbor sympathy for any fan of any team that's worried about just results. It was what happened.
Right.
I mean, Planet LeBron crashed in the Laker Nation, and it was like, whoa, this is not exactly what we expected here. And then all of that turmoil in terms of what they had to do to get the team back together, nobody wanted to see that. Like, people weren't laughing at the notion that the Lakers were in disarray necessarily because of what they were losing. It was because of how it was happening so publicly for the family business. And then, of course, Kobe passes, and you're thinking, my God, this is a house in disarray, you know, right when they had sort of gotten it together. So I think that's where the sympathy comes from. It's not about the losses over the number of years. Ain't nobody care about that. A lot of NBA teams are terrible, but not a lot of NBA teams go through what the Lakers went through in terms of who they are in history, in terms of what happened to them as far as their future is concerned.
No question about it. Being the crown jewel of the NBA and enduring all the stuff that they've dealt with, I mean, it's not easy. There is no question about that. As much as I know there are people out there going like, yeah, God forbid, you know, I'm a Clipper fan. I haven't endured anything, any winning, period. You know, like pass some along a little bit. Share the wealth a little bit. Clinton Yates, you are the best, my friend. Thank you for hanging out. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
No problem, guys. Going to go keep listening to ESPN LA, the radio station.
Yes, sir. Yeah, there it is. We should do the imaging like that. Thank you, Clinton. That should be the imaging, Greg. You're a suit. Make it happen. In honor of the Washington football team, we should just be called to the next. Until they have a name, we should be called 710 ESPN, the radio station. How about that?
I love it. I'm gonna text Chris about it right now.
Actually. All right. Coming up, we got a full board of calls. People want to weigh in on opening day. They want to weigh in on this question about the Lakers versus the Clippers. What would hurt more, the Lakers being eliminated or the Clippers actually winning a championship? Plus your star pairings. Denzel Washington and Julia Roberts are getting together for another movie, a Netflix movie, another thriller. First since the Pelican Brief. We were talking about super teams forming in the bubble. What would be your star super team pairing? Actor, actress in Hollywood. 877-710-ESPN. All that plus your calls coming up in just a second. And I've got Vegas odds. Vegas loves the Dodgers. I'll tell you how much in 2.5 minutes. Sit down over here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Clinton Yates. Thanks to Tim Kirkjian, who joined us earlier. If you missed any part of those interviews, feel free to subscribe to the Sedano Show podcast. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. And our friends at Nature Valley Crunchy Bars, whether you're taking on the trails or hanging out on your terrace, your deck, or your dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help make the most of your outdoor time, because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. So we got a lot of people that want to chime in on the phones and discuss all these things we've been chatting about, opening day and the Betts contract and the Dodgers and their prospects, which we'll get to in a second because we've got the Vegas odds here momentarily. We've also been talking about what would hurt more. We started this question yesterday. What would hurt more? The Lakers being eliminated or the Clippers actually winning a championship. So we will have all that stuff for you here in a second as people are chiming in. We're also talking about NBA super teams. So I found that there's a Hollywood super team. Denzel Washington and Julia Roberts. The first movie since the Pelican Brief is coming out soon. They are releasing a movie on Netflix together, another thriller. So we've been asking you to pair your actor-actress super team. Again, at 877-710-ESPN, having some fun with that. But speaking of Vegas, I mentioned Vegas loves the Dodgers, Greg. So did you know that Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger are each listed at 7-1 as the favorites to win the MVP. Co-MVPs, Bergman.
Wow, look at that. It reminds me when Mookie Betts was in Boston with JD Martinez, and they were both really high up there, mm-hmm. which was only 2 years ago, and Mookie Betts won that. So it didn't matter that they were on the same team and were taking votes away from each other. So one of those two could very well still win this year. I mean, if I have to choose between both of them, I think Mookie Betts is going to end up winning that one again.
Yeah, and then as far as the rest of the crop of players, Ronald Acuña Jr. and Christian Yelich, obviously, who's already won an MVP, is in the discussion as well. Cy Young, now the leader, according to Vegas, now the ESPN panel picked Walker Buehler, but the Vegas likes Jacob deGrom as the favorite to win the Cy Young, followed by Max Scherzer. Walker Buehler is third on this particular list. So
I'm gonna take my Dodger boy hat off for just a moment. I don't think Walker Buehler is going to win a Cy Young this year. Okay. He's because it's only a 60-game season, and he's starting off slow, and they're not going to use him more than five innings for I don't know how long into the season, that his numbers are just not going to be what you're expecting. They're starting him off very, very slow. So unless he has just a killer second half, well, I guess the second 30 games, DeGrom has a better chance.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, the Yankees and Dodgers lead the Vegas odds at World Series, as far as the World Series championship is concerned. There is a crazy bet that was put down in Vegas. Derek Stevens, a Las Vegas casino owner and a known big bettor, recently placed four large wagers on some monster underdogs when it came to Major League Baseball. He put $5,000 on the Miami Marlins to win the NL pennant at 200-1, okay? He put $2,500 on the Marlins to win the World Series at 400-1. He put $4,000 on the Detroit Tigers to win the AL at 250-1, and $2,000 on the Tigers to win the World Series at 500-1. Each bet would net $1 million.
Wow. I mean, that dude just has a little bit of money to spend.
He's got money to spend. Right. Exactly.
Right. I mean, because none of those things are happening.
No, they're not happening. Of course not. All right. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. A lot of people chiming in about the discussions we've been having. O'Shea is going to join us in a couple minutes. O'Shea Jackson Jr., he wants to tackle this Lakers-Clippers question that we threw out yesterday and have been discussing today. But let's go to Phil. Phil first in the LBC. What's up, Phil? Phil, you there? Phil dropped. Let's go to Rudy in the LBC. What's up, Rudy?
Hey, how's it going, George?
All good, buddy.
Yeah, man, by far, this shouldn't even be a question. It's definitely the Clippers winning the chip. For the past few years, they've been snatching everything away from us. A few years ago, we were going to get Paul George. He's with the Clippers. We were going to get Kawhi. He's with the Clippers. We had Zubac. He's with the Clippers. Marquise Morris, Reggie Jackson. And if they snatch a title away from us, it'd just be devastating. So there's no way that any Laker fan would say that, you know, they would choose them not winning the chip over them losing out on the playoffs.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Stay healthy. Stay safe. This is a topic that has struck a nerve, Greg Bergman. I don't think there's any question about it.
I mean, it's tough. Like, you're sitting here saying if Clinton was right, that if the Lakers lose to the Clippers, that is the worst out of all of it. There is nothing that makes it any better whatsoever. But the Lakers, I mean, we have 16 championships already. So giving the Clippers their first, that might make it a little more tough. But I mean, I love this team. They're so much fun to watch. I'm excited to watch them again when I haven't been for years. So to not win would really hurt. I just can't imagine watching the Clippers winning a championship. I think that would hurt more.
Let's go to Grady in Fullerton. Grady, what do you got, man?
Hey, George. Hey, just remember, the last time the Lakers were in the playoffs was when Dwight Howard was previously on the team.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Yep. But just to keep this short, if the Clippers win, it's the apocalypse, man. Thank you, guys.
It's the apocalypse. That means we're all done? The pandemic is going to win? Like, it's over? Okay, fair enough, I guess.
I mean, that would be so 2020. It would be.
I mean, it really would be. Let's go to Ian in Redondo Beach. Ian, what's up?
Hey, George. How you doing, buddy? Hey, so I'd rather the Lakers lose in the finals than the Clippers win the championship. I mean, Paul George and Kawhi not come to the Lakers. I might vomit if the Clippers win. win it all. It would be sick to my stomach.
I mean, clearly, this is a thing that has struck a nerve. And thank you so much, Ian. Stay healthy. Stay safe. I love this. This is what I love about this town, is just the pure, unadulterated sports hate between the Lakers and Clippers. Because I am not a person, clearly, if you've listened to this show, I am about empathy, love, compassion, understanding, right? But I do think a little rivalry, a little sports hate isn't so bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, it definitely fuels the fire of people like myself, people who do radio in this town, the fans of this town. Because here's the thing. I've lived on the East Coast, and it wasn't until I've lived here for several years to understand that, you know, I always used to think, West Coast bias, whatever, blah, 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 blah. You know, like, or East Coast bias, whatever, whichever way you want to look at it, right? And it's like, you live here, you get it. And it's like, here people get knocked for, they get there late, they leave early. No. There is real, deeply rooted passion here. This is one of the few towns in America where you can talk baseball still. This is one of the few towns in America where you have the deeply rooted hatred of the big brother and the little brother. Like, there's not that many towns like that. New York is probably really the only other one. Okay, for all the love that all these East Coast towns get, like Philly and Boston or whatever, and they're so passionate. And I'm not saying they aren't. They're super passionate, particularly about their sports. But there is a passion here that people don't understand unless you live here. And I think that having lived here now over 4 years, I get it, man. I got it a long time ago. I got it fairly quickly, but I definitely get it. And I feel like this town gets a bad rap. And this particular question is one of the perfect examples of how passionate people here are about sports.
And this is not just for, you know, the Lakers versus Clippers. And this is the only city. And it's not even New York, because you can't say that about a basketball and you can't say that about football. It's every single sport up and down. There's an A team and a B team that we look at. And there's also, and it goes into college too, UCLA versus USC. That is right. A gigantic rivalry between the two. In hockey, the Ducks versus the Kings. It doesn't matter.
Well, because in New York, like, I mean, you have the Yankees and Mets that's kind of like that, but that's really it. Because the Knicks are the more popular team, but they haven't won anything in, you know, my lifetime. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, what does that mean? You know? And so, like, I'm with you. I think that you are right for the most part. Let's go to Larry in Temecula. What's up, Larry? Larry?
Go. I noticed you had a caller a couple of calls ago bemoaning the fact that the Lakers lost out on Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, that those guys went to the Clippers. Look, you can only fit so much payroll on one team. And nothing, you know, negative about Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, but I'll take LeBron James and Anthony Davis all day long, every day, every week, every month, over what the Clippers ended up with. I mean, you can't put them all on one team, right? So, I mean, that's just my
Well, the Lakers do have the advantage of this, right? They have the advantage of having two top five players in the NBA. As good as Paul George is, he's not that. Kawhi is certainly a top five player in the NBA, but Paul George is probably closer to top 10 than anything else. I don't think he's close to top five. So to your point, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Larry, thanks for the call, buddy. Stay healthy, stay safe. Let's go to Jonathan and Whittier. Jonathan, what do you got?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
And so I had a question. I wanted to see what you guys think. Which LA team do you guys think has a better chance of winning a championship this year? The Los Angeles Lakers or the Los Angeles Dodgers? Thanks.
Ooh, that's actually a really good question. We should roll that one over to tomorrow. but I can answer it now. Greg,
it's tough.
Well, I mean, I would say in a 162-game season, I'd probably still say the Dodgers, but in a 60-game sprint, that changes things a little bit. And just the playoffs is such a more of a crapshoot. But the NBA, like, the best players generally win. I guess I would lean towards the Lakers only because I just think LeBron and AD, that combination is really difficult to stop. And in basketball, two players can have more of an impact, as Tim Kirkjian said earlier, than they can in baseball, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with it. I just think that it's, if you have to look through the playoffs itself, it seems like it would be easier for the Dodgers to get through the National League side of the playoffs than it is for the Lakers to get through the Western Conference.
Right.
And then when you get into the championship, it would be, you would think easier for the Lakers and harder for the Dodgers. Right. So it's, I mean, it's a huge toss up, which is the better chance there. They both could win very easily.
It is very possible. It is. There's no question about it. Like, I think this could be that year. Now, it would be awful in this sense that if it happened this year and they both won and we couldn't have parades because of Del Figueroa, because of the pandemic, it would be terrible. But I don't think anyone would care, right?
No, you're still just excited that they won and you're going to be celebrating in your house by yourselves, just jumping up and around, spraying champagne all over you twice.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. Let me go to JJ in Santa Barbara. What's up, JJ?
Hey, guys. Just out of sheer reflex, you don't want the Clippers to win. However, if they have to win a chip, this is the year to do it because there ain't going to be much of a celebration. The virtual one was not going to be nearly the same as the fun and excitement of an actual live parade going down.
I mean, he is right.
JJ, if they have to win, let it be this year.
JJ does have a point, Greg.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think this, we've talked about this so many times, though, that this is the harder, this is a very difficult year to win.
No, it
so
is.
Would have a, so you'd but have what that he's whole saying thing, is like, that, oh, this was tough.
Right, but what he's saying is, he you know, and Laura, I'd love to get your thoughts. He's saying that basically they wouldn't have the chance to gloat as much. You know what I'm saying? Because there wouldn't be a parade, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, Laura, does that help a little bit?
No, I still don't want the Clippers to win anything. I want them to keep their banners as their pictures. That's all I want. No Laker fan is happy with that.
Laura really loves to stick the needle in and the knife in about the pictures instead of the banners.
I love
that
it.
That is like her go-to really line.
Because
every time.
It's true.
Yeah, it is one of your go-to. It is your go-to line when it comes to the Clippers. Like, you love bringing that part up more than anything else. Julio in the LBC. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Hold on, Julio. Greg, what did you have? I'm sorry.
You just talked so much about. We've talked about this so many times with like the lovable losers. Even though the Clippers aren't lovable, they like you.
Yeah,
want
not the
you don't
Cubs.
Ever want to.
I mean,
yeah, you don't ever
mean?
Want them to get that one chip because then they're just no longer anything in special anymore. They're
well,
not
I'll
that
tell you
team
this:
that never won.
You and I have had that conversation about the Cubs and like Cleveland, right? Like LeBron winning that. I know everybody thinks it's great, but it's kind of like, yeah, but that was also kind of like a cool narrative. You know what I'm saying? Like that Cleveland sucked, you know?
So if the Clippers win, then they don't have that we've never won thing. If they get out of the second round, they never have that we never get out of that second round thing anymore. You know
all
what
right,
I'm saying?
Let me go to Julio real quick. Julio in the LBC. Julio, what do you got? Because we're going to get to O'Shea here in a second.
Hey, ¿cómo estamos, Georgiano?
Hey, ¿cómo estás?
Aquí bien, bien, mire, mucho gusto de hablar con usted. Muy bonito el show. Tenía mucho tiempo de querer hablar con usted. Y disculpe que le hable en español, pero yo soy de Guatemala y quería hablar con usted.
No, no, no hay problema. Usted habla como usted quiera.
De los Clippers y los Lakers. Yo he sido un fan de 1990, since 1990, and I've been through all of it. We didn't win a championship until the 2000s. And I think for me, it will hurt more to see the Lakers off of the playoffs because I wouldn't watch the NBA anymore. I probably watch some other teams, not the Clippers at all. I wouldn't care if the Clippers win because to me, it wouldn't matter at all. I wouldn't stand a chance to see the Clippers in a parade, so I wouldn't really care. So go Lakers all the time.
All right, Julio. Cuídase, okay? All right. Stay healthy. Stay safe. He is an actor extraordinaire, friend of the station and the program, O'Shea Jackson Jr. Now, you were listening to me talk about this yesterday, and you wanted to call in. You were texting Greg. You wanted to get in, but we were running out of time. So we wanted to give you ample time to discuss this question that we posed yesterday. What would hurt more, the Lakers being eliminated from the playoffs or the Clippers actually winning a championship? O'Shea Jackson Jr., you tell me what's on your mind.
Well, George, usually I don't like to deal in the realm of, you know, like fairy tales, but it would definitely be the Clippers winning the championship. I don't like to play make-believe, but if that's what I got to do, it would definitely be the Clippers winning the championship. It would just, it'd be a different type of sting.
Now, why would it sting so much? Like, you can't just give them one championship. You got 16 of them.
Yeah, I know, and I want more. It really, you know, the distaste I have for the Clippers has nothing to do with the players, you know, maybe except Paul George, but nothing to do with the players. It's really just the disrespect that's happened over the last couple of years. it started with the Chris Paul thing, and then after that, they start defacing our statues. You guys don't even have a statue. You don't even have a retired jersey for me to deface. And then you hire this Celtics coach. You let the Celtics coach come in Staples and cover up our championships with y'all selfies, y'all posters of mediocrity. And you just let him pump you guys up so much that there's actual fans of the Clippers who hate the Lakers like they're not from Los Angeles. The Lakers have been winning these championships for all Angelinos. And then as soon as y'all get good, y'all let y'all owner turn my locker room into his personal office during the playoffs. We never were disrespectful like that. So now it's on. It's on and popping. Most of their fans are Laker fans that couldn't weather the storm. I've been a Laker fan since Sean Rooks, Eldon Campbell. You know, I was cheering on Robert Sacre, Chris Mim, trying to convince people that Chris Mim was going to be great. So I'm here. I'm a hardcore, and I don't respect bandwagoners or people who diss the purple and gold.
I mean, Ballmer needed an office, though. You know what I'm saying?
Get out of here, George. See, that's that Miami Heat coming out of you, bro.
I'm just saying. The man needed an office. I'll ask you this, though. You mentioned Paul George. What is the big issue with Paul George? Because you said you have no issue towards or ill will towards the players. I know that you took a shot at Doc Rivers on SportsCenter with my guy Neil Everett. Doc gave you the who's O'Shea Jackson Jr. I want to get to that in a second. But why Paul George? What is the issue with Paul George? Do you feel he shunned you?
He played us. Straight played us. First of all, you got the whole Oklahoma City situation. All right, he gets traded to Oklahoma City. He's a free agent. Everybody in Lakerland was stitching together a Paul George jersey. We knew it was going to go down. And then you dissed us. Straight disrespect. You're on stage with Westbrook. You know, I get that y'all homies, yada, yada, yada. But you played us. And then as soon as you get on the Clippers, you want to act like, man, it's so good to be home, man. You know, I was dying to get here. You weren't dying to get here. You could have had a chance. And then you dissed us, and a couple of days later, we get LeBron. So then, you know, that's where we are right now. But for him to act like he's so happy to be home, act like he's always been down with the Clippers and all this, his reasoning for not choosing the Lakers is because he said we could have traded for him. He didn't feel like we wanted him enough. Magic Johnson got fined like twice for tampering. What do you mean you don't think we wanted you? Are you're playing me? I know when I'm being played, and I don't like it. I'm a Kobe fan. You can't play me like that. It's disrespectful. Doc Rivers knows me from 2010. That was the last time he was in the finals taking this L.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. joining us here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests like O'Shea up here via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. What about Kawhi? Didn't he play you?
I mean, a little bit. You know, I got respect for Kawhi. You know, I really did Kawhi. But, yeah, he played us a little bit too, because you knew for you to have a meeting with us, have us lay out all of our cards on the table, and then you hit up Paul George like, yo, meet me at a hotel 10 minutes away. You had a plan. You tried to sucker us in to wait until we couldn't get, you know, some of the tools that we could have gotten in free agency at that time. So you played us too. You shouldn't have even gave us a meeting if you knew what was up. If you could hit somebody and have a meeting a couple miles away, you knew what you was going to do. You knew what you were going to do this entire time. And, yeah, played us like a fiddle. But it's whatever. It's purple and gold forever. I don't care how far y'all think y'all can get. The amount of years, decades in this thing that we call Los Angeles, the purple and gold has kept me real warm. All right, it's nice to be a part of the Golden Army. And then they've always tried to leech off us, whether it's Elgin Baylor, when they tried to get Kareem to teach Michael Olowokandi. Michael Olowokandi. All right, you got Kareem. Now the Jerry West thing. You guys trying to go to Inglewood. It's just a leech mentality. And like I said, the war is between the fans, because Laker fans look at Clipper fans like, y'all are disrespectful. Y'all are a bunch of, y'all jump ship. Y'all are transformers. You can't possibly really be from L.A. You got to be one of these imports that your family used to live in Arizona, and now you're over here and all that. Because the true Angelino is all about that purple and gold. It's whatever, though. You know, it's just the only people I really respect is Clipper Darryl and Billy Crystal. Because I know that they've been there since Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson and all that when they were terrible.
Yeah.
Those are the only people that get my respect.
Yeah. Now, I'll ask you it again, though. What happens if they do win the chip? Are you booing them in the parade? They may not have a parade, though, because of the pandemic, right? So if this is the year, this is the year for that to happen. They can't even celebrate.
Listen, even if it wasn't a pandemic, they would not have a parade. It would be at least maybe 53 people there,
53.
Including staff.
It's just it.
If they were to win the championship, their rings should be cubic zirconia. It's just not. I just don't believe in it. I don't want to think like that. And you know, I'm hearing all this asterisk talk. Put an asterisk on it.
Well, wait a second. What if the Lakers win? No asterisks then?
It don't matter to us. It hurt their feelings.
Oh,
do
man.
Do what you want. Lakers are all about the chip. Oh, you know, when we got Bron, we knew change is going to come. And it has. You know, Anthony Davis. I wake up every day, George, just to look at highlights of the Lakers because I still can't believe it. I still can't believe it.
I love it. O'Shea Jackson Jr. hanging out with us here. All right, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you this question. We were talking about the NBA, how the next super team is probably forming in the bubble. Everybody's trying to tamper with Giannis, right? Like, that's definitely the move while everybody's in Orlando. But I was asking because I saw that Denzel and Julia Roberts are hooking up on a new movie. Their first is The Pelican Brief. You are an actor. If you were to pick your actor, actress, super team, they could have already been in a movie. They may never have starred in a movie together. Who would you pick?
Ooh. I mean, super team?
Yep.
I mean,
one actor, one actress.
I mean, I'm a big fan of, like, a movie that I thought was really, really good. Was Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Brad and Angelina, they were together.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that would be awkward to happen right now, though.
You think?
You know, anything with Brad, anything with Leo, Denzel and Lupita, or Denzel and Viola Davis.
Denzel and Viola. Well, you already saw that, right? Yeah, that was that. They've already starred together. That is an excellent choice. So there you go.
I need more of those. Those two right now. Like, can you get as you know, just as far as their talent? Can you get any bigger? You know, as far as my people go, we got Denzel, we got Will, we got Chad. Chad Bozeman be killing it. That's like our they're killing it right now. So any of them paired up with Viola or Lupita, I'll go see that easily.
Are you speaking of Will? I mean, what did you make of all that stuff?
No.
I mean, look, that could just be your. That could be. Listen. That could be your answer right there. That sigh right there was all I needed. You didn't even give me any more.
Yeah. Look. All I gotta say is the internet is a cold place, and everybody needs to stay off of it when their life get hot.
Yeah, that's for sure. O'Shea, what do you got coming up? You got anything you wanna promote? Anything you got coming up, or are you just hanging out and chilling right now?
I mean, I'm hanging out and chilling with my mask on, you know, like a G, like a smart American citizen, you know, yes. Wearing masks. And then, I'm just waiting for, you know, things to settle down so I could get back to Virginia to finish filming the Apple TV series Swagger. Produced by Kevin Durant, who should have been a Laker. And after that, we're trying to figure out this script for Den of Thieves 2.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm trying to get some checks out here.
Okay.
And just waiting for number 17.
All right, man. Well, listen, good catching up with you. Thanks for hollering at us and hanging out with us, man. Appreciate it, okay?
All right, man. It's always good to talk to y'all. My Lakerdom goes so hard. I won't even play Xbox because I don't like Microsoft no more. Go Lakers. Everybody stay healthy. Let's go get this ring.
All right,
be with you.
Stay healthy, stay safe. O'Shea, be good. There he is, O'Shea Jackson Jr. All right, coming up next, Raider Nation. Uh-oh, your owner's talking. I'll tell you what he said next. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to O'Shea for joining us there. He was great. He was unbelievable. Like, that was an Oscar-worthy, it's radio, so Marconi Award performance right there. It's the return of baseball. Tune into opening night action today as Aaron Judge and the Yankees visit the defending champion Nationals. Coverage begins at 3 Pacific on ESPN Radio. Our coverage here, right, Greg, begins at 4?
3 o'clock.
Oh, sorry. Oh, we're going right at 3 right here on 710 ESPN. So there you go. Whether you're taking on the trails or your terrace, your deck or your dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. It's time for Straight Talk, giving us the Straight Talk Wireless. That was O'Shea Jackson Jr. earlier giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Before we get to the Raider discussion I wanted to have, Bergman, especially with you, Raider boy, how would you and Laura, let's start with you, Greg, assess O'Shea's performance on how passionate he was about that Laker-Clipper conversation we were having?
I mean, I thought that was a top 10 performance of all time. That was maybe one of the best performances we've seen on the Sedano show, period, since it's been back here at 10 o'clock in the morning. He was fantastic. The line that he said was saying there'd be 53 people at the parade, including staff, had me on the floor. It was so good.
Yeah, it was really funny. Like, even though it was mean, it was also really funny. It could be both things. It could be mean and funny both at the exact same time. There is the possibility of that. So, anyway, all right. So, I know we only have, how long do we have here, Laura? What do we got to break? Oh, 57. You had just texted to me, literally, as I asked you. But how would you rate O'Shea's performance before we move on?
I was trying really hard not to yell in you guys' ear because every time he spoke, I'm like, yes, the selfies, yes, the leech mentality, yes, the 53 people. I lost it. I was like, he was amazing. I was like, dude, shout out to you.
Yeah, it was funny. Very mean, but also very funny. It can be both. Okay?
Very true. You know, very true.
It can be both. All right, Raider boy, your owner, Mark Davis, says he was initially hurt when the NFL chose the Rams and Chargers over the Raiders to move to L.A. briefly, but basically said it ended up being the best thing for him. He said, I've lost games before. That's how I live my life. You lose on Sunday. You're pissed. You go to P.F. Chang's on Monday, have lunch, and then you're on to the next week. So let's start with the L.A. part of it. Then I want to talk about the P.F. Chang's part of this because I do think that's a funny conversation to have. Honestly, you know how I feel. Like, I've always felt it should have been the Raiders and the Rams, and the Chargers should have gone to Vegas because Vegas would have adopted any team that was out there. But he is right. It was in the best interest for him now because now he gets all the money, right? Like, he's the one team in Vegas. He gets the brand new, beautiful stadium, and it's all his.
Yeah, it's better for him to be in Vegas. I wish that he would have been back. The Raiders would have been back here in L.A. It would have been better, and I think other teams in L.A. probably would have hoped that they were here now also and not the other way around. But either way, being in Vegas, you're still so close. It's a four-hour drive if you drive fast. To get to Vegas, you're going to get all the L.A. fans out there anyway. It's just you guys. You're not sharing with, you know, San Francisco anymore. And you get this great stadium. You got great fans. You've seen what Vegas fans do for their teams with the Vegas Knights.
Well, so, Vegas will get them. It'll get the L.A. fans, the L.A. Raider fans, and also the Northern California Raider fans. The Oakland fans will travel there too because it's just it's basically 4 hours there too. Although we've all had that drive to Vegas where it's a pain in the ass, right? Like, let's not forget it. It's not always 4 hours. You know what I mean? If everybody's going, right? Like, Laura, you've been there, right? Like, you've driven to Vegas and you're like, oh crap, I can't believe I'm stuck in this traffic.
Yeah, the 15 traffic sometimes sucks. So you just pay like the $50 that takes you to just fly over. It's not that bad.
Right. I'm with you. Yeah. It's so much easier to just take like Southwest Airlines or whatever the hell and just, and go that way. You know what I mean? Like when I did Summer League last year in Vegas, I had a game that ended at like 10 o'clock. I took the 11 o'clock flight and I just came back to LA for 36 hours just because I was like, I'd already been in Vegas for 8 days. And I'm like, I just need my brain to not see Vegas for at least a day. And that's what I did. So, yeah, I would drive for sure. But the driving then, can you still partake in driving? And tailgating without the driving? I guess you could. You could hang out at other people's tailgates.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's a great thing about tailgates. You can, it's welcoming to everyone.
You make friends.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Now, the P.F. Chang's part of his quote, Mark Davis, is fascinating. What is your comfort restaurant? Like, when you need to pick me up, you've had a rough day, and you're like, because he said he goes to P.F. Chang's, he has lunch, he gets over it. That's like his comfort place. Like, what is your comfort restaurant? It could be a chain place. It could be a local place. It could be a dessert place. It could be whatever. But what is your comfort food go-to, I'm in a bad mood, pick-me-up restaurant?
Oh, that's tough. There's a couple, but I think the one that I go to the most is the Cactus Taqueria at number 3 out here in North Hollywood, right down the street. Great burritos, delicious. So I think either that, or there's a place called Moana Barbecue, Hawaiian Barbecue in Burbank, and they deliver out here. That get some loco moco and a couple other things. Delicious.
Laura?
I'm between Yard House and Fridays. Cheap drinks, but they're great, and the food isn't bad, so I'm game. When I'm sad, that's where I go.
Yeah. Look, that's a good place. Yeah, anything that's got like 2-for-1. What's the other place that has 2-for-1? Chili's, right. Chili's definitely had 2-for-1 all the time. Like that.
What's yours?
Man, probably like any sushi joint, to be honest with you. Like, there's a bunch of them sushi by me. So, like, I just drive on PCH and just, like, pick one. You know, there's a million of them.
You don't go to your place
near Lomita, where I live. So, it's like, you know, it's great.
What's your
like,
Cuban place? Torrance. What's your Cuban place in Torrance? Isn't that
Tropicana
one of
and Downey, dude. Come on. All right, we're done here. Thanks to O'Shea. Thanks to Clinton. Thanks to Tim Kirchin. Thanks to Greg and Laura and you guys for tuning in and calling in. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See ya.